summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This KL 2017 SEA Games special is brought to you by Massey.
BFM 89.9, you tuned in to Bar None, and we're down to our final episode of our KL 17 SEA Games, bringing you coverage and stories from the games. My name's Daryl Ong.
And I'm Sean Tanish.
The games have ended and Malaysia has topped the medal tally, exceeding expectations and pulling in a total of 145 gold, 92 silver and 86 bronze medals, bringing it to a grand total of 323 medals. This is our best finish in the history of the SEA Games.
Yes, definitely best history, and the games in as a whole has been an overwhelming success, not just in terms of, you know, medal tally, but I think it kind of brought the people together.
Yeah, I'm still soaking in it. The games was held in the same month as our Merdeka Day, you know. It was like road to Merdeka.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, it was like road to Merdeka. We unite, we came together, we cheered together, we sat together. And I think not just as a sporting event, I think it's like one of our patriotic callings.
It's like a duty, right?
A duty, you go there.
I mean, people that I've seen, you know, on my social media page or whatever, they've never really talked about sport, even with me in real life, not talk about sport at all. You know, they still get behind. So, I mean, non-sports fans can even understand the energy and the hype surrounding the games. I find that quite amazing.
Yeah, we see this kind of fever even in World Cup, right? But I think you wouldn't feel as patriotic as you are right now, because your country is not involved in it. But this right now is the biggest sporting event in the region.
Yeah, and I feel like it's attended almost by all Malaysians.
Yeah.
Right? Whether you're at the stadium or not, you're still part of the game.
Yeah, right? And a lot of these athletes are also people that you know, people that you've interviewed, people that you've spoken about, you've read about them a lot. So I think you feel very close to the event itself.
It's a connection.
Yeah.
And one of the gold medalists managing to pull in a gold for figure skating is 20-year-old Julian Yee, who skated his way to a 205.43 point victory. He joins us this week with Irene Chow, who was the deputy of the Ice Skating Association from 2012 to 2014. She has 16 years of experience and is also Julian's mom and biggest fan.
It's definitely something special for me. I think that coming back to home crowd and being on home ground to compete in front of everyone, it's something different. And it's amazing to hear the crowd go crazy. I got a shock from that as well, you know. And it was just amazing.
What set these games apart from the other tournaments you have competed in?
I think it's really the crowd. This crowd was crazy. It felt like there was like 600,000 people there.
Right.
Yeah. Insane. And I think that kept me going, especially when I was skating on the ice, you know, hearing them support me, cheer for me, that really kept me going.
And Irene, how is it like from your perspective? I'm sure it has been, you know, really nervous, really nerve-wracking.
Yes, I was extremely nervous. And like Julian said, the crowd was fantastic. Everybody we knew came to support him. Special shout out for my classmates, you know, the group of aunties who came and yelled like schoolgirls. You know, I think they enjoyed themselves. I enjoyed myself, other than when I was standing at the boards and, you know, that was when I stopped breathing for that moment of time when he was skating. But again, it was awesome. The crowd was just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I saw clips, video clips of your short routines. I know you look quite majestic on the ice.
I try to look good.
In fact, for many events in this SEA Games, it was a great social experience because of the crowd. And you totally didn't see that coming, right?
No. It took me by surprise, especially after I competed. And when I went upstairs, you know, to meet my family and friends and all that, the crowd was just waiting for me there. It felt like I was like in Hollywood or something. You know, it was fun. It was a very fun thing to experience. Yeah, I was just totally shocked.
Was it different to stand on the podium
this time when the Nagaraku was played?
Honestly, this is the first time I stand on a podium and the Nagaraku was playing.
Well, this is the first time?
Yeah, normally when I win competitions, because they're not at games, they don't really play the national anthem.
Right.
So this was really special for me to experience this, and it was just like super
overwhelming.
Super overwhelming and amazing.
Did you cry?
I almost did. Inside, deep down inside, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, but Julian, standing on a podium and skating in the ice rink are two completely different things, right? You stand on a podium when everything's done, you know, national anthem is playing. But I just can't imagine, because for this kind of sport, especially ice skating, is you're doing a performance, you're putting on a show for the judges, for the audience, and letting them judge you, right? It's unlike any team sport, for example, where the pressure's on the team. This is just on you, you know?
Yeah.
Thousands of eyes, if not millions of eyes, is on you, right? How do you take the pressure, like, with that?
I think every competition for me, no matter it's big or small, I get nervous. And I think that's just being human, right? So with this, what I feel is that I try to perform not only for the judges, but also to please the audience. People like to see something exciting, something that will keep their interest, you know, on you. So in my head, what's going on is always, all right, let's do this not only for yourself, not only for the judges, but for everyone else as well. You know, so everybody can enjoy it together.
Going into the event as one of the favorites, right? How was it like? Because I think this is a regional tournament, but at the same time, I think some other countries have also advanced facilities and they've been training abroad and they've had good coaching as well. How did you plan for this? How did you strategize yourself?
To me, I treat every competitor the same way. We are all here to win and we're all here for one goal, right? So there's nobody who is less important or more important. And for me, is to focus on what I have trained on, focus on what I need to get done. And in the end, it's not up to me to decide who wins. It's up to the judges, right? So as long as I do my part, I think it's good.
You're kind of born in an ice skating family. Irene, you've been in the game. You've been in the scene for a long time. You have two older brothers as well who are ice skaters.
Yep.
Also, bring me back, you know, Irene, when you were trying to get your three boys into ice skating.
Okay. He wasn't exactly born into ice skating family. He was brought up as part of an ice skating family, actually. Well, I skated in my younger days for fun, and of course, I was never good at it. It was just something to do, you know, when it was a novelty. And it happened when one day I was passing by an ice rink in Sunway Pyramid, and I saw somebody doing a beautiful spin, and it was actually for myself. I said, I want to do a spin. You know, I've never had chance to learn. You know, it was just walking around all the time when I skated. So I wanted lessons, and my goal was to do a spin. So I signed myself up, and at the same time, you know, since all of them are with me, why not the whole family skates?
Family affair.
Yes, yes. So that's how it started. And then I thought, okay, now this is good because I only have three. I have three boys, but only at one venue and one activity to send them. You know, I don't have to be a soccer mom and a swimming mom and a football mom and all that. I'm just a skater mom. So it kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, I think it worked out. I mean, you see the fruits of, you know, your labor now.
How long ago was that?
That was 17 years ago.
You started them 17 years ago?
Yeah, I started the two elder ones. He started a little bit later because he was young.
Yeah.
And then he started at 4. So yeah, that's how long we've 4. Been on the scene. Yeah.
What was I doing at 4?
He wasn't doing much. He was just running around on the ice and making a nuisance out of himself.
So when was the point where you thought, okay, you know what? I'm just playing. I'm having fun on the ring. And when was the point where you actually decided to take it seriously?
I think it was probably like when I was maybe 7, 8, because when I was 4, I had no clue what I was doing.
Right.
Mom says, go on ice. Then I play. You know, there's other people in the rink as well. And it's always fun to play as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Run around, fall down, stand up, laugh. And I started doing competitions at 5. I think 5 was my first competition. And I quite liked it because I get to meet a lot of friends, make new friends, travel around, you know, even though like Singapore, Thailand, those kind of things. It's really nice. And at the age of 7, it started to be a little bit more serious for competitions. And I think that's when it took off. And from then on, it just went year after year, more and more and more.
So when the training starts to kick in, everyday routine.
Yeah.
And
it just sort of became part of my life already.
Are there any ice skaters that you looked up to as you were growing up?
Back when I first started that time, we didn't really know much about ice skating. It was just, we were very closed up. We didn't know the outside world had ice skating too. So it was mainly just looking up to brands, coaches, or the senior skaters here, you know, the first batch of skaters we had here in Malaysia. And then as we got to know a little bit more outside, And then we watched like YouTube videos. Mm. And you know, YouTube is at that time wasn't too in as well when I first started skating. As in the internet became more in, and then we started to know about more people. So we knew about like the Japanese skaters, Russian skaters and all that. And now like I really like how this Japanese skater, he skates. His name is Daisuke Takahashi. And he's retired now. But from what I see videos, he's just amazing with his skating skills, his jumps. And I think it's the personality on ice.
Right, that really personality on ice.
Yeah, like they can really tell their story through their performance.
So is that what you say would make a good ice skater, having a personality instead of, you know, putting up a show?
I think the way you present yourself on ice really determines of how good of a skater you are.
Because it's like a play, it's like a performance.
It is, yeah.
And you have to, you know, you need to have certain aura to you.
Yeah, to me it's like trying to tell a story on ice. It can be also like for us to tell our story and share it with everybody through skating.
And how would any ordinary man would get that kind of story, you know, from engaging the crowd to know that kind of story?
It's really much like watching, going to the theater and watching like a play or something, you know. Our music plays an important role, right? Choosing the right music and then the expression in your face and how you present your movements. I think that really shows of how much you want to share with them and what you're trying to share. For example, like in my free skate, it's more of a fun song. So I want to share like, skating is fun, I'm enjoying myself. So it was a fun piece of music. It was by James Brown, I Feel Good. Mm. So that was really quite crowd pumping. Mm. And my short program was To Build a Home. And with that song for me was to show where I came from, like Malaysia, and how far we have come through this whole journey here.
So did you come up with the motive yourself, or, you know, you sit down with a bunch of coaches? And
the thing is, it's not everybody does it this way.
Okay.
Like, I think this is how I would portray it as how I would do it, you know, to try and get a story. Because to me, it's very important to be able to understand your piece of music. Because if not, there's no connection. It's just a music playing, someone moving. You know, we want to always drive together as one. So for me, at least for me, this is how I would do it.
Right, yeah. For a layman like me, I see figure skating especially a hybrid of dancing, artistic gymnastics, as well as ice skating. I mean, that's just me, but it sounds complicated already.
Yeah, like I would say figure skating, we need the speed of speed skaters. We need the balance of gymnastic athletes. We need the finesse of a ballerina, ballerino. A lot of things play into one, and we are doing it all on ice. So it's
a lot, element there as well.
A lot of aspects gone into it.
And it's cool.
Yeah, well, you get warm after some stuff you do.
Irene, when you started him on training and stuff, did they show any signs of demotivation, or they didn't want to go to trainings, or they thought,
why are you making me do this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. In the younger days, not really. Like you said, you know, what my mom tells you, you do. Okay, so, but we did, when they were a little bit older, we did have discussion. They said, okay, these are the days that you are skating. You know, we have to allocate, these are the days that you skate and you practice. So we decided on, okay, maybe 2 days a week. And then as it got more serious, it moved up to 3 days a week and then 4 days. And, you know, but we had family discussion.
Discussions.
Yeah, yeah, discussions in inverted quotes.
Was it intense though?
No, it was not intense. And then it came to a stage where they're old enough to decide. And okay, do you or do you not want to do it? Because this has to come from your heart. It has to be passionate. So when his brother decided he wanted to spend more time on his studies, and of course, when he went to university, he discovered a life. Because Julian has no life. Until now, he has no life. Let me tell you that. Yeah.
It's a different life.
Yeah.
A different life.
So, you know, it's a choice you make. Of course, you have to let them make a decision at that point, because they are the ones living that life, whichever life they choose, not me. Mm. Right? So, yeah, there was, despite what you hear, there was no forcing.
Yeah, but I mean, Julian, like, from having arguments, air quotes, arguments with your mom to being 39th in the world, that's a big jump, man.
It is. Like, for me, at one point, I did feel like I want to stop. You know, my friends were all going out for birthday parties. You know, back then it was very in.
Yeah.
Go to McDonald's and all that, watch a movie. But I had to go for training, you know, or like school camps. Sorry, I have to go for training. And that really put me off. Like, oh my God, when am I ever going to have this opportunity to go out?
He missed his prom.
Oh.
Yeah, so
sacrifices.
Yeah, sacrifices have to be made. And at that point, I think I was like maybe 12. I was like, you know what? I've already spent so much of my life on this. And to give it up now, it's quite pointless, because you've already put so much effort in. And it's like the finish line is almost there and you're just going to give up. So I just kept going. And
at 12, you thought about this?
Yeah, at 12. Wow. I was already thinking like, it's a good decision that I kept going because I think I'm quite happy with the results so far. Mm. And I would never expect it to be coming this far.
Irene, did you expect it, you know, from the days of, you know, bringing them?
No, you know, this never crossed our mind. As like I said, it you know, the training went from 2 days to 3 days to 4 days. We were kind of like just playing by ear. And in fact, there was one time when we organized the, we meaning Malaysia, organized its first figure skating nationals. He didn't join because I said, nah, he's not going to represent the country. You know, he's not that good. That's not what we want. So, but look where we are now.
Look where we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was never planned in the first place. Yeah.
And you're actually a four-time Malaysian senior champion.
Five times. No worries. Yeah, we never knew what we would come this far. It's always step by step. And then I remember the last time I said, oh, world championships. There's no way I'm going to get there. And then 2 years later, we were already aiming for it. Mm. So I think this sport, the thing is because we're so new in this sport that we don't expect too much. The main thing for us is because we're so new, we had to make a lot of mistakes. We had no one to learn from. Those mistakes cost us actually quite a lot of time, sacrifice. Mm. But the thing is, you learn from mistakes. And I do hope that other people, like the younger generations, are able to learn from my mistakes so they don't have to go through that same path of struggles. Mm. And that way, at least they can advance a little faster.
All right, Julian, you are based in Canada, mm-hmm. Kind of like a natural ice skating country, yeah. Right? And you come back to Malaysia for games and stuff. Can you just give us a bit of a rundown and a breakdown of, you know, some differences on, you know, the matter of training, the ice skating culture, that sort of thing?
I think Canada, we look at facilities first. From where I stay, in that one city, we have 8 rinks. In Malaysia, we right now only have about 3-4 rinks.
In the whole country, yeah.
In the whole country. So based on that, we can already tell that Canada is a very well-established place for skating, figure skating, ice hockey, ice sports in general. And the thing about Canada is there's so many rinks to choose from where you're going to train. And they have got a huge pool of coaches to choose from. And the thing about the coaches there, because of the nature of the sport and Canada being more experienced, the coaches would also have a little bit more experience. So I think that training in Canada and Malaysia, the biggest difference is the facilities, the coaches, and I think mostly is the time and the environment.
Yeah, and the competition as well.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like we skate in Canada, there's so many other skaters there in one ring. Here we have our national team, our development team, and then some other skaters who are just trying the sport as well. So it's very, very different.
That was Julian Ekel, 17 SEA Games gold medalist, and Irene Cho, giving us an insight into the figure skating world. Coming up, we talk more about life in Canada, the future of the ice skating community in Malaysia, and then the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea.
That's right. Stay tuned. My name is Daryl Ong.
And I'm Shabdanesh.
Banan, PFM 89.9.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area, visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
BFM 89.9, you're tuned in to Bar None. My name is Daryl Ong.
And I'm Shantanesh.
And this week we've been speaking to Julian Yee, SEA Games gold medalist, and Irene Chow, the ex-deputy of the Ice Skating Association of Malaysia, and we've been exploring the world of figure skating. Julian was just telling us before the break that, I mean, in Malaysia, we could see it as well, the ice skating community, potential ice skaters, right, of Malaysia are not really nurtured. Well, one, because there's no natural ice, but most ice skaters we have go abroad to actually train, to actually develop their skills.
It's just lack of facilities, lack of exposure. Some people don't even know it's a sport. They probably think like you just go there to skate for fun.
Yeah, it's like a recreational thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's like a theme park. Oh, okay, it's like a fun thing to do. They wouldn't know, they probably don't know that this is a sport.
And
that
potentially might be a career.
Right? Yeah, it can be a career, and then it can put you on the map.
Definitely. And one person who did put Dan on the map is Irene Chow, Julian's mom and biggest fan, she kicks off the conversation with her decision to send Julian to train abroad.
We decided at one point when he got into the World Championship and we said, okay, he could have a shot at the Olympics, you know. He only have one shot, actually. Yeah, because of time. You know, the next Olympic is in 4 years' time. The nearest one that we're aiming for is next year, and after that is another 4 years later. Us, we are just planning for the moment because, like, 4 years down, another 5 years down the line is too long. So when he got into the World Championship, you know, we thought we could have a shot at it. So we planned, and then, you know, the obvious thing is he has got to go out to train. Otherwise, it's not going to materialize because the rinks here are in shopping malls.
Yeah.
That's not conducive.
Yeah.
We used to do training like early in the morning before the mall opened. Actually, early in the morning before school starts. You know?
You have to beat the jam.
No, he still has to go to school. And then he trains after the mall closes to the public because you can't train when there are public skaters around. There's just not enough room. Plus, you know, most of the time he's been training in Sunway Pyramid and it doesn't have enough room for him to do his jumps because he's working up into triples and quads. So the training schedule and all that and the expertise of the coaches, so the obvious thing is to go overseas. And we had the opportunity to meet his present coach who used to come here every year for our nationals to sit on a technical panel. So Julian had a rapport with him, you know, they get along and that's how, you know, I decided to send him to Michael in Canada.
Right.
Yeah. So he's quite happy there now.
Right. You knew you could trust Michael, is
yes,
it?
Yes, Michael yes. Michael, yes. He's a great guy.
To nurture him
exactly.
into what he is today.
And in fact, he has given Julian 110%. So
without
him, I don't think we would be where he is now.
Fantastic.
I'm very thankful to have so many people supporting me and my coaches so far. All my coaches have been very, very good and they really give their best to me.
Can you just bring us a rundown through kind of your daily training routine?
In Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Canada, I wake up in the morning, depending, because we have many different seasons, right? Malaysia is just hot.
Yeah, it's just
there
hot.
We have summer, fall, winter. And every season, the ice schedule is different. So let's say in summer, I would wake up maybe 8 o'clock, go to the ring, then I'll be there the whole day. We have 3 sessions on ice. Each session is about 45 minutes to 1 hour. And in between, we have maybe about a 40-minute break. And after that, it will be lunch. After lunch, then after that, maybe one more session on ice and then off ice. Off ice training is mostly like ballet, dance, or a workout, or, you know, strengthening, those kind of things. And then that's the end of the day. I go back home. I cook my dinner, I eat my dinner, I rest, whatever, and it repeats again the same thing next day.
So during those off-ice training, is that where you practice your spins, you practice your jumps before taking it into the ice rink?
Yes, we also have what we call off-ice jumps.
Okay.
That's mainly just to get the air position right off the ice first, and then we go on ice and try it out as well. But most of the time, off-ice is mainly like for dance or ballet or, let's say, cardio. Mm. And we also have, recently I just did what we call trampoline jumping, which is, we go to the trampoline, like, you know, what's that place here called?
Jump Street,
something like that. But instead of just doing backflips and all that, we're doing our air position. So we jump and we try and rotate as much rotations as we can just to get the feeling.
It's interesting.
So it's incorporating a lot of things into our training and it makes it a little bit more fun also.
Mm. What's the hardest part of ice skating?
The hardest part is to make it look easy. Trying to jump and rotate 4 times, 3 times in the air, doing spins for holding like at least 10 rounds.
While smiling,
yeah. And trying to maintain eye contact with the judges, entertaining the crowd. We got to make it look like it's like nothing. And that's the most difficult part.
Yeah, I'm taking it back. It does look easy, but I guess it's not. Yeah. This is clearly very complicated.
Yeah. I feel bad for underestimating.
Often people say, just jump and land. You can try and jump and see.
Exactly. Never try, never know, right? How hard it is. And also, I guess maybe not for us, but, you know, for people that think that figure skating is a feminine sport.
Yeah, there is a stigma.
Yeah.
Right. What would you respond to that? Yeah.
To me, like, for example, feminine, like a feminine job, feminine sport, it covers many, many things. For example, like a chef, They can say it's a feminine kind of job, but there's so many other male chefs out there. And I think this is just very stereotypical. To me, the good thing is because of the internet and social media, Malaysia itself is becoming more open to this sport. And the fact that I get to skate with a lot of girls and people like doing pair or ice dance, they hold the girl, you know, they throw them up, they get to hold their hands every day. I don't think that's being feminine. I think I'm quite lucky to be in this sport. Yeah, yeah, you know, to be around girls all
now,
the time.
Now I know why you've been in it for so long.
But she mentioned earlier that when you trained in Sunway Pyramid, right, the ring is not too big, and then it's not enough for the type of discipline that he's going to train or he's going to perform. I think that itself is a stumbling block when you consider ice skating, because you have to invest to go abroad one way or another.
Okay, let me rephrase it. It's not of standard size. We normally say standard size is Olympic size. It's not Olympic size, right? But let me rephrase that to say that it is a block in a way that that's not enough space, but it doesn't mean that it cannot do the job, because he got his triple axel there, and that's one very big jump in every skater's life. That's a milestone when you land your triple axel. And he landed it in Sunway Pyramid. So it is possible. It's not impossible, you know? It's just that it being in a shopping mall, the time that you get to practice is limited, because you can't practice with a lot of people around and you have to wait for after hours. So it's like before the mall opens and after the mall closes. And then we are again sharing ice with ice hockey, with short track speed skaters. So that means even lesser time for you to practice. So logically, we would aim to go to a place where, like you said, in this city alone, there are 8 rings, you know, and those are dedicated rings. They're not shopping mall rings, they are training rings. So you have ice the whole day, depending on how many sessions you get. So for really, how do you call it, intense training to get to the top, that is the kind of condition you need.
Right.
Yeah.
And Malaysia, currently, we are lacking that.
Yes,
totally.
Yes. That's why I'm hoping that with the SEA Games, with the success that we are enjoying, or this sport is enjoying, please, the government build us a training ring, because there are a lot of talent here. I can see a lot of young kids with great potential. You know, we have got a lot of talents in the making. So if we have a proper training ring, I think we can come up with a lot of very good figure skaters.
I mean, if Julian hadn't gone to Canada, I doubt he'll be here today.
No, he will not be here today.
So yes, rings are one thing, dedicated rings, you know, for training. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what do you think can be done to kind of elevate and improve interest and the scene?
Well, if more people take up ice skating in general, and more people are moving to the top, getting better, then perhaps more money will come into the sport, right? To build rings, to bring foreign coaches to train our coaches. We have dedicated coaches here as well, right? Like Julian's coach when he was here. He's very dedicated. But because, like say, we are in this region, we are new. So coaches also need to learn, right? So if we can bring in foreign coaches to train our coaches, we have better facilities, then our skaters hopefully in the future do not have to go out, right? And being in Malaysia, in Southeast Asia, if we can make ourselves good, other Southeast Asian countries will come to train. Then the whole region will grow. The sport will grow in this region. So that is what I'm hoping for, because we went through a very long and arduous journey, and we are still on that journey. And it is actually my wish that, you know, those coming behind would have a lesser arduous journey, a nicer, easier path. Honestly speaking, there's a lot of talent here, a lot.
You were in the Malaysian Ice Skating Association.
I was, yes,
right?
I was.
And when you try to push ice skating to the forefront, what kind of resistance that you usually meet?
Well, first of all, it's because it's not a grassroots sport. It's an elite, they call it an elite sport. So that is the first block you will hit. So being an elite sport, we have not produced any results. So it's very hard to get people to notice the sport. So this is the perfect jumping board. Everybody is looking at ice skating now. We are producing some results. So this is the perfect time to give the sport an injection and push it up and, you know, let it grow in this region.
And I think one way that can definitely put us up there is, Julian, you know, you are aiming to hit to the 2018 Winter Olympics in Korea.
I'm doing my very best to try and qualify for that competition. I think it would be a great opportunity, not only for me, but for the country to really show itself out there.
How are preparations getting there? You know, what do you have set up to actually reach there?
Basically, what we're doing is we're going back to train, and we're going to learn from whatever competitions that we've done. Let's say for here, SEA Games, what can be improved and all that. And for me to do that, because I'm going back to Canada, it would require some funds as well, you know, especially towards the qualifications. And let's say if I God willingly, hopefully I get in. We also got to work towards the Olympics then, and for training for that, it's going to be a tough journey.
And you mentioned about funds. How expensive is it? Because people out there, I think they might be interested in ice skating, figure skating, but I think a lot of people don't know like what it takes.
I think the main reason why it's so expensive, or let's say it's so expensive, the main reason why it's different from other sports is because it's still new, especially here in Malaysia. So getting easy access to rings is not easy. You know, there's only a few rings around, and because there's so few, they can charge like different prices, right? So if we have a little bit more of resources or facilities, I think it would be like slightly cheaper, because like look at the swimming pools or badminton courts. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And because there's so many, they all go like really fast.
Mm-hmm. And also the maintenance of all these rings and the expertise to take care of them, I think it's also, I think, a stumbling
cost,
block.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the electricity bill?
Yeah. So that's why if there's subsidies, you know, if it's a government ring, that kind of thing, I think it would be a huge step for us, especially for the younger generations to come up, you know.
For sure. So yeah, we really hope to see you next year in Korea, the 2018 Winter Olympics. But how can people help you out? You know, is there any place they can go to? Website?
Well, I've started a GoFundMe page, and that's basically to help me get towards my goal, which is to the 2018 Winter Olympics. So far, it's been going quite well, but, you know, every single support, we appreciate that very much.
Do you see that games as the pinnacle of every ice skater's career?
I think every athlete would want to go to the Olympics, whether summer or winter, and that would be like the icing on the cake.
All right.
Yeah, to be
well put.
To be known as an Olympian is something else, right? Speaking about it being an elite sport, how do we bridge the gap to make this sport more accessible for all?
Well, like Juliet said, if there are more rings, and then if there are more school programs, you know, subsidized school programs, then the majority of people would be able to try out the sport. And from there, you can tell whether we have got any champions in the making. Because we are missing out a lot, because it's too expensive for the lower income people to come and do it. Yeah. Seriously, every single lesson is very, very expensive. And at the moment, we are pretty much on our own. You know, we like to call it the pharma funding, you know, father mother funding. So, you know, and we have tried commercial sponsors and stuff like that, but because the sport is not so popular, sponsors are not interested. So that's why I'm hoping this SEA Games will give us the boost we need. The medals will give us the recognition that the sport needs, you know, and sponsors may look more seriously into this sport.
Right. I think it's a good start for SEA Games to even host these events, and I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Because the planning of this has actually, it went back a few years ago. It didn't just come, you know, and say, oh, okay, we'll have it. No, it went back a few years ago, and we were very happy when they announced that ice sports will be included for the first time. And of course, you know, in Kuala Lumpur, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Because this is something that every ice athlete has dreamed of for a very, very long time. So a lot of athletes, ice athletes here, realize their dreams. Our hockey team did well. They got bronze. You know, we got a gold and a bronze for figure skating, and a short track starts today, and we are expecting more medals from them. So it's going to be a big boost for the ice sports. And hopefully, like I said, this will be the thing that we need, the catalyst that we need to jumpstart this sport in this country. And you just imagine if Malaysia could have athletes in the Winter Olympics, you know, be it ice or snow, coming from a country like this. 20 years ago, nobody would have thought this is possible. But now it is. It's really all within reach. So we do need more support. And I think the next Olympics, we may have more people from ice sports, you know, or snow sports from Malaysia.
Yeah. I'm sure it does well for the community as well, right? You know, walking around, looking at ice. Oh, we have actually athletes.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because when we go overseas, people are saying, where are you from? Malaysia? You skate? You have ice?
Yeah,
you have
sure.
ice? You Yeah, we skate in the shopping mall. I mean, it is possible. Look where we are today.
Humble beginnings.
So, exactly. So, you know, with more facilities, better facilities, for sure, I'm positive we will have somebody in the Winter Olympics.
That was SEA Games figure skating gold medalist Julian Yee, alongside Irene Cho, his mother,
also the ex-deputy president of the Ice Skating Association of Malaysia. And that brings our Banan Sea Games special coverage to a close.
Yes, and if you'd like to revisit the interview, you can head over to our website www.bfm.my to download the podcast. And also the best way to keep track of all our latest updates is by downloading our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. I have been Daryl Ong.
And I'm Sean Tanish.
Join us again next week on Banan, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Rise together at the KL 2017 SEA Games with Masing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
7-Eleven has more drinks than times you've been caught singing in your car and random lyrics stored in your brain combined. Choose from big gulp flavors starting at 79 cents, like Fanta Orange, Minute Maid Fruit Punch, Powerade Mountain Berry Blast, Brisk Strawberry Melon Iced Tea, plus many more only at participating 7-Eleven stores. This summer, put on your favorite song and hit the road with a thirst-quenching big gulp drink starting at 79 cents today, plus taxes where applicable.